You're listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.
Harry Kane and Kane again! Stop him if you can! Schmeichel, momentarily heroic, but deprived of his moment by Kane's instinct and thirst for goal!
Yet more extra time drama, but we now have our second Euro 2020 finalist.
Yes, and this time it's England who celebrate at Wembley, the first major tournament final in 55 years.
Denmark have had a remarkable run, but it was late heartbreak for them.
All the reaction, plus we catch up with the Italy camp as they recover from their penalty win over Spain.
This for Italy to win it, Jorginho style. They are in the final. Their run goes on.
Welcome to the show presented by Qatar Airways. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by my co-host Chris Parrott. Chris, hello.
Hello, Rob.
And we have European football expert Kevin Hatchard with us. Hey, Kev.
Hi, guys.
Chris, England have done it. They've beaten Denmark to reach that final and they're celebrating.
On the Wembley pitch, we've just seen Gareth Southgate do a lap of honour on his own and give two huge fist pumps to the crowd 25 years on from his penalty miss at Euro 96, redemption from him. And the whole England squad now are in front of the England fans doing a dance. And of course, that is for the victors, for the losers. Poor old Denmark gave everything to this game. There are some tears from Andreas Christensen. There are some tears from Joachim Meiler. But we've just seen a really nice moment, Rob. They went over to their red wall at one end of Wembley and just stood very dignified, very united, and applauded the fans who applauded them back. They know that they have given so, so much to Euro 2020.
And moments before his move around the pitch, Gareth Southgate embraced Harry Kane, who missed a penalty but converted the rebound, Kev.
He did, and he was tremendous throughout, a constant threat. I thought he played a brilliant role for the equaliser, which England really needed, dropping off in that way we know that he can, and playing a beautiful ball into the area for Bukayo Saka. That's what led to the own goal. And yes, he got the break of the ball as the ball came back to him, but he has those striker's instincts. What a moment for him. What a moment for England.
And you know what, Rob? The celebrations are still going on now. Declan Rice and Mason Mount, two best mates off the pitch, are having a little moment with the England fans, and the Denmark players, and we are now, what, 5 or 6 minutes after full time, are stood still just looking at those Denmark fans again. We've not seen celebrations like this from any other team making it through, I don't think, in the knockout stages. But England, quite rightly, enjoying this moment. They have made, whatever happens in the final, they have made modern history, a first showpiece since 1966.
Let's take you to Wembley.
Dem's guard! Oh, it's a diamond! That is Danish dynamite. Damsgaard with an absolute fizzer. Kane and Sterling. Oh, what a save. What a save from Kasper Schmeichel. Bukayo Saka, Sterling now. England snatch it back.
It's a lightning reaction from England to make it 1-1. It's a super goal.
Mount flicks it in. Maguire attacks it. And Schmeichel gets across. It remains England 1. Denmark 1, and extra time will follow. Raheem Sterling, that's brilliant, he's over, penalty! Harry Kane, and Kane again! Stop him if you can!
And Schmeichel makes it a terrific save, and he just falls back.
It's England! England at last into a European Championship final for the very first time.
It was an extraordinary evening at Wembley. Of course, the venue that will host the final. England's last major final appearance was at Wembley, as Chris mentioned, of course, way back when they won the World Cup. More of the celebrations, Chris. England savouring the moment and Denmark heartbroken out there.
These are the highs and lows of football, right? And when it comes to the quarterfinals and the semi-finals, it is only amplified, and of course the final. And Denmark are still there, as I mentioned, not just stood still, but I think very much in their own thoughts, just looking on at the incredible support that they've had. And you know, you feel sorry for players really in that moment, because at the other end of the pitch, England fans just jigging with delight. And you know, if you look on social media, so many England supporters saying, I never thought I would see this. That they've had a whole lifetime, many England fans, of seeing opposition teams and other nations celebrating getting to a final, and now they are going to enjoy this moment and prepare for one almighty big game against Italy.
And there certainly was a general apathy around the national team before Gareth Southgate's arrival. And you can just feel it now among the fan base through the results and in the stands at Wembley what it means to them, this team. Well, this is one of the songs that's been adopted by the England fans, one of many, in fact, around this this run to the final, as Raheem Sterling, one of the stars of England's performance, is being interviewed pitch side. We saw David Baddiel and Frank Skinner, the English comedians who co-wrote the famous three-line song, just joining in with the fans singing it at Wembley as well. A song laced with the heartbreak, Kev, that England have had over the past 55 years.
Absolutely. And there are decades of hurt, as they talk about in the song, you know, 30 years of hurt when they wrote it. And baggage. And what's been so impressive about what Gareth Southgate has done is he's managed to turn the level of the background noise down to zero. These players do not play with fear. They don't play thinking about what previous England teams might have failed to do. They're very much about what they do and what they do well. And the way that England played in the final minutes of extra time, where many teams might have panicked, they just calmly kept possession, made it really tough for the Danes to get any kind of momentum. I was hugely impressed by that. And it all comes from the coach. He is the leader. He is the emotional centre of that group.
Okay, let's hear from the man of the match, Harry Kane.
Oh, unbelievable. What a game, tough game. Credit to Denmark, you know. Put on a really tough game for us, but we dug deep and we got there when it mattered. And I thought the boys were excellent all over the pitch. Reacted really well from going 1-0 down. So, yeah, a final at home. Yeah, what a feeling. Obviously, I chose the side I was going to go. Weren't the best executed penalty I've ever had. But look, that's football. Sometimes you miss and it falls your way. Thankfully it did today. Obviously we know it's going to be a very tough game against Italy. But look, we've had a great tournament so far. One more game to go at home. Yeah, we can't wait.
Let's go to Wembley then and speak to the former England goalkeeper, David James. David, hello.
Good evening.
You must have loved that. What was it like to be at Wembley to see England reach a first final in 55 years?
I tell you what, everything about it was so, so good. And I was listening to the fans, the noise. I sat next to Dave Seaman. I said, this reminds me of football in the 90s, the way that the singing was going around. It was just absolutely amazing. And it was, just listening to Harry Kane talking there, it was a tough game, of course, but there was never a doubt that England were going to go through. Well, not in my mind, anyway.
David, were you joining in with the songs at the end?
No, I was in the UEFA bit. I had to be like, you know, signatory or whatever they call it. But,
inside. On your best behaviour.
Yeah, I don't know all the words, which is the worst thing about it. But, what a game. What a game. And then I've been saying, sorry, I'm going off on one now because I'm buzzing a little bit. But the fact that England conceded a goal and were able to literally turn the game round. And I know it's gone to extra time, as everyone does there, but the fact that there was a question mark, what would they be like if they conceded, they got better. And I think for any England fan, there was hope and more confidence in England not being weakened by conceding a goal. It was just a magnificent evening of football.
David, what did you make to the performance itself?
Exactly. Well, arguably what everyone expected in one sense, that Denmark were going to be stubborn. And I say that respectfully. They were physical. I was looking at the players, I was looking at Dave at 1-1 in extra time, and I was saying, we've got some really tight players out there because Denmark make it really, really hard. But once again, England have done what they needed to do, which was win the game. There was a period of time in the extra time. I think if you added up the amount of time Jordan Pickford touched the ball in extra time, it was probably about three. And that was for the whole 30 minutes because we had so much control of the game. But Denmark and Kasper Schmeichel in particular, he was outstanding tonight.
David, what strikes me about this England team is they don't play with fear. Gareth's done an amazing job at kind of removing all that baggage, and they dealt with the situation, not only going behind, but also playing the game out in extra time at the end, keeping possession, dealt with that incredibly well.
You say the fear, I mean, at 0-0, it was one of those games similar to Germany, probably a little bit more open than Germany, but the question was always going to be against Denmark. How do you deal with a completely different type of opposition? All the other games, it seems every team's been different in their own way, but Denmark have shown resilience, the bond that this team have had to go this far in the tournament, considering all the circumstances, and that was evident tonight. they didn't let England have comfort in that first sort of period of the game. And obviously when they scored, it was going to be more about what England did rather than whether Denmark were going to win the game. I never thought that England would lose. I just wanted to see a reaction, and that's what I saw. Then you saw the confidence come into the team. It was like, right, we can actually win this game. And as I say, if it hadn't been for Caspar Schmeichel with a string of fine saves, I don't think we'd have gone to extra time either. So there's a lot of positives to take out of today's performance, apart from, of course, getting to a final for the first time in 55 years, which is amazing.
Well, I was just going to say, England fans haven't been able to say this for more than half a century. But
it's crazy. It's a crazy long time.
But now they're looking forward to a final. What do you make of the final, David James? England against Italy?
Yeah, I've been talking about it today, and people say, don't say let's get through this game. But it's like, no, I'm an England fan. And as I said to you before, we've won this tournament until someone beats us. So I'm not going to stop talking about a final and a semi-final day. But I was at the game yesterday. The one reservation I have about Italy is, and I say again respectfully, they can't play as bad as they did yesterday. It was, I described it as like Strictly Come Dancing in a dance-off. It doesn't necessarily mean the prettiest dancer is going to win. And what happened yesterday was the prettiest team in Spain didn't win the game because of the penalty shootout. I'd expect a lot more from Italy, depending on who's available, obviously with injuries. But again, I'm an England fan. We've got a squad, and today was a sign of the belief at its best, I say, is that this squad can deliver. Phil Foden came on, and that was Phil Foden I've been waiting to see in this tournament. Looked hungry, he looked fully on it. Now he's obviously putting a claim in to start the final. So Gareth's got another headache to worry about, but it's the best headache that he could ever think about.
And David, you were telling us you've been around the group. You obviously know Gareth Southgate well. How happy are you to see this group of young men perform so well and make history?
Oh, buzzing. Again, I apologise for my tongue being a little bit tired. I think it's probably the emotion. But what I saw when I met the guys before the tournament in Middlesbrough gave me the true belief that I think this England team can win. And having been an observer for the last sort of 14 months in the lockdown conditions, I've seen some great players do some great things, which gave me enough belief. But when I saw, as I say, the harmony that these guys have got, the togetherness. And it was evident as well at the end of the game there when everyone was getting together. I was looking at individual players like Sir Connor Cody. You would have thought he just played 120 minutes because he was enjoying it as much as any of the players who were there.
Yeah.
And when you see that sort of reaction, you know that this team have got the spirit to get through what's going to be the biggest game in, as you say, in England's history for 55 years. They don't look fazed. It's a good time to be an England fan.
Okay, David, final one. We had Joe Cole on the other day, more than 50 caps. He says that doesn't guarantee you a ticket for these big games. Are you have you got your ticket for the final?
I've got my ticket.
Oh, yeah, good man. Yeah. I hope to see you in that grey, that Euro 96 kit again.
No, well, today I was wearing Jamie Carragher's subway. He was a sub for the game, but the Euro 2004 kit. Because there's this wonderful moment that we are experiencing now. That this England team have done something that no other England team have ever done. And I've been trying to battle with this in my head. And when I was trying to pick what shirt to wear, I thought, I don't want to go back to 96 because these guys have equaled it. But I've got to wear an England shirt. So I went for a Euro shirt that we won 3-0 because I was thinking, I don't want to put one on which we didn't win it. So, I mean, the fans can wear what they want and I celebrate every shirt, whether it's 96, 66, whatever. But these guys now have produced or they are wearing a shirt that will be worn in the future, which has outplayed and outperformed any of the previous kits bar 96. So, I don't know what I'm wear for the final, but it will be, I might have to go and get a new one.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you in it. David, thank you so much for your company. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure too. Hey, guys, enjoy tonight and look forward to enjoying Sunday too.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.
All right, take care.
The former England goalkeeper, David James. He's got me even more pumped for the weekend.
Well, he needs to keep that ticket very safe as well between now and Sunday, because if that was me, it would be lost somewhere in the living room.
How about we break down the game then itself, gents? England versus Denmark. Denmark came into this with the same 11 for the third game running, despite the fact that Kasper Hjulmand said they had nothing left in the tank after their quarter-final success. England, just the one change, is Bukayo Saka returned from a knock in for Jadon Sancho. Same 11 otherwise, Chris. And, there were notable chances in that first 45 minutes.
Yeah, there was. And actually, I thought after a very good start from England, Denmark were probably the better team for the opening 29 minutes really until they scored their goal, which ironically came just after Jordan Pickford had set a New England record for minutes without conceding, beating Gordon Banks, the legendary goalkeeper who had set it in 1966. But then about 4 minutes after that record had been broken, you heard it on the commentary. I mean, genuinely one of the best goals at Euro 2020. The first direct free kick to be scored in match 50. And for young Mikkel Damsgaard, a strike which he will be hurting immensely after this semi-final loss. But I think over the coming days, years, decades, he will look back on that free kick and think...
And the immediate seconds after.
It was unbelievably good. It was quite a long way out. He almost hit it. He hit it really hard, but he managed to get it over the wall and then dip down and almost break the back of the net. It was a very, very special goal to give Denmark, I think, at that stage, a deserved lead.
What I love about international football tournaments like this is that they provide a stage on which young players can blossom and guys you might not have heard of suddenly explode into life. And Damsgaard's definitely one of those. I mean, he's been a talent from a very young age. He was Danish Super League Player of the Year when he was at Nordjylland. He's looked really impressive at times for Sampdoria. And he really has seized his opportunity. And the technique and the temperament to hit a free kick like that in a semi-final in the biggest game of his life, the biggest game of his team's life, it really is quite extraordinary. So I'm excited to see where he goes from here.
That goal coming on the half hour, but England's response was actually relatively good. Raheem Sterling should have scored on 38 minutes when he was played in by Harry Kane, smacked the ball at Peter Schmeichel, Kasper Schmeichel, I should say. But moments later, Kev, England did get their goal.
And it was critical that they did because they needed to respond quickly, psychologically as much as anything else, to get the crowds going as well. And I thought Harry Kane was instrumental the way that he dropped off, as we've seen him do for Tottenham time and time again, played a perfectly weighted ball through to Bukayo Saka, who gambled, who made that darting run into the box. And then it's about Raheem Sterling affecting the game. And even though he didn't get the vital touch, him darting into the 6 metre area, that's what forces Simon Kjær.
It's such a familiar run, isn't it?
Yeah. And it forces Kjær to do something. Otherwise, Kjær can let it go, but he has to do something. And then there's the touch of him into the net. And I thought it was typical of what Sterling did all night and what he's done all tournament. Loads of energy, always trying to make those darting runs, always trying to affect the game. He never, ever hides.
And he was doing that deep into extra time, let alone deep into the first half for that vital equaliser. And you know what? We have to give the former England international Joe Cole some credit, right? When he gave us his score prediction on Tuesday, he said he thinks England are going to fall behind and he thinks England are going to win. and a lot of England fans, certainly that you spoke to and you heard on radio and TV and on social media, I think they thought this might be the game when we're really tested and maybe we will fall behind for the first time. We will concede for the first time. Then it's about, are we good enough to react? And as Kev said, to score as quickly as they did the equaliser, absolutely pivotal.
Into the second half, there weren't actually that many notable chances. Worth noting, England barely made any changes. They brought on Jack Grealish. Denmark went deep into their bench. And I think it's fair to say one outstanding save from each keeper. Chris Pickford denying Dolberg and Schmeichel on Maguire.
Yeah, in particular, Schmeichel's save from Maguire. One of those brilliant headers. And he clawed it away to his right-hand side, Kasper Schmeichel. And, you know, you feel for Denmark, who gave so much to this game over 120 minutes and an extraordinary amount to the tournament, but Kasper Schmeichel did not deserve to be on the losing side. He was excellent again, and that save, really, then from that moment on, I'm looking down at my notes, which are a complete mess again, by the way, but basically from the 60-minute mark until England had a couple of pot shots in added on time, there weren't any clear-cut moments. England were on top, Denmark were sitting back, but it wasn't as if you were convinced there was going to be a third goal, and then it did go to extra time.
Kev, they did go deep into their bench and into extra time. We did see Gareth Southgate bring on the likes of Jordan Henderson and Phil Foden. But did we see, do you think, Denmark tire given their exertions through this tournament?
I think there was an element of that. And I think certainly they went a bit deeper than they would have wanted to go. But again, you have to give England credit for that because they started pushing higher. They had spells of possession and they made Denmark work. And I think if you do that in a long spell, given how much Denmark have put into this tournament already, that was always going to be tough for them to deal with. You make the, but it's a cliche, but it's true. You make the ball do the work effectively, and England seemed a bit fresher towards the end.
Yeah, and I think now you see, and it's something that you mentioned, Rob, early on in this tournament, but, you know, England rotating, being able to rotate all those players ahead of their third group game, then being in such a dominant position against Ukraine in the quarterfinals that they could take some players off. I think these are the moments when you get to extra time in the semi-finals when that tiny percentage of fitness and match sharpness, that is the difference. And Denmark, unfortunately, because of all of their games and their start and losing the first two games, meant that they have been absolute full gas for every minute of every single match. And maybe ultimately that was the difference between England coming through in extra time and not Denmark.
You even saw how emotionally drained Denmark were at full time in the quarterfinals. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg famously bursting into tears on the whistle. Okay, that takes us nicely to the moment when England won their penalty. Let's hear from the man who was brought down for it, Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, it's a top performance today. We had to dig in deep. It's the first time we've conceded in a tournament, and I thought we regrouped well and showed a good team spirit to come back and win the game. We knew it was difficult going behind, then we got the equaliser. And we knew we just had to, you know, stay patient. We knew with the legs we have in the team, the aggressiveness, the power, we knew it would just be a matter of time before we break them down, and we got the penalty in the end. Yeah, it's another step in the right direction. Once we walk back in the dressing room, that's it over. We've got to focus on to the weekend now. It's step by step, and that's what we can do.
You know, that is the mentality of a player who's won a lot of things now, Raheem Sterling. You've got the fans, you can hear them. Three lines in the background going absolutely berserk. And he's like, we're just thinking about the next game now. They've literally just won the country's first semi-final in 55 years.
I bet he walks into the dressing room and he's not that cool, though.
Yeah, probably not. The 13th different nation, by the way, to reach a Euro final. One of the first newcomers since 2004, since Greece reached the showpiece. Let's reflect on this Denmark campaign then. Kev, extraordinary. We all know what happened with Christian Eriksen game one. But Chris was really good the other night, pointing to the fact that, look, it isn't just an emotional wave. It isn't just fight. This Denmark team are really, really good.
I couldn't agree more. It's very tempting to paint it as this emotional wave, and that's what's carried them through. Denmark were playing really good football well before this tournament. And they went into this with confidence. And you have to remember that if this tournament had been played a year earlier, Åge Hareide would have been in charge, who was the Norwegian who actually qualified them for the tournament. And Kasper Hjulmann very graciously has pointed that out on several occasions. And he actually sent a message to Hareide saying there are two head coaches taking the team to Copenhagen. And it's a bit of a vindication for Hjulmand as well, because he's always been a guy that's been told maybe he was too nice to be a coach at the top level. Maybe he had romantic ideals in terms of the football that he wanted to play. And it's been proven that a people person like him can be a real success in football at this level. And I think what's been really interesting to me is that you go beyond football, you broaden it out. Hjulmand is seen across Denmark as not just a great leader in football, a great leader full stop. And I think that's great vindication of his methods.
And they will harness what they've done over the last 4 weeks. And the FIFA World Cup is, what, 18 months away? And UEFA Euro 2024 is 3 years away in Germany. And you look through that squad and you think, well, the majority are going to be there. And Mikkel Damsgaard is only going to be a better player, one imagines, in a couple of years' time. And, you know, I think at the end of the game, they're just, I mean, in normal time, they lost Delaney and they lost Christensen because they just couldn't carry on physically. They'd given so much. And then by the end, they'd also lost Vestergaard. And you just think, to do it without all of those players would truly have been Herculean. And I think, just to come back to it, I think in the end, England were probably just that tiny bit fresher when it really, really counted.
It was so interesting seeing them at full time, because a lot of this had been that, look, they've already, in a way, won their own tournament by getting so far. But I think the players, they look devastated because I think they obviously have been thinking about the possibility of repeating the heroics of that team that against the odds won in 1992. This from Morten Brunn on Twitter, who was part of that squad, was on the show the other day. He's brilliant, Chris, wasn't he, talking about that drive. He was commentating on the game for Danish TV, and he's just tweeted this. Thanks to the national team. In fact, I did not think the euphoria of 1984, when they did really well at Euros, got to the semis, 1986, great World Cup campaign, and 92 could be repeated again. All Danes can think back to an enchanting summer. And once the dust settles, they will look back at this as one of the greatest sporting national achievements of Denmark.
Well, they only have to look the other sides of the pitch when England was celebrating what Euro 96 meant to England for the last 25 years. And I think it might be something quite similar to Denmark. No one is going to forget what this team achieved, both on and off the pitch. And for that, we can be thankful that they were at Euro 2020. And as I said, they are a really good team with a coach who has just at the start of his job, really. His first job was supposed to be for the FIFA World Cup. So he's already had one tournament under his belt now. And if they qualify for that, they will head to Qatar, truly believing they can make their mark.
OK, well, let's get some fan reaction. Lindsay Hoop has been in the fan parks, of course, for us throughout the tournament and getting some reaction.
I'm nearly out of breath myself, but I know that, Ben, your voice has really taken a caning. You've got all your England strip with you, your flag, everything. And now, have you got any words left to say?
Yeah, I'm absolutely ecstatic. England's gone through to the final, first time in the Euros. Everyone's so happy here after COVID and everything that's happened. It's so great for everyone to be out here having fun. And yeah, I'm just so happy for everyone.
Just give me your thoughts on the match. Like, was it a dominant performance from England for you?
I think it was a great match. There were some bits where it went down a bit. I'm just happy we got through, and that's all that matters.
It is all that matters. This team, how proud are you right now?
Oh, I'm so proud. I think we're going to win it. I predict 2-0 in the final against Italy. And yeah, I'm just so happy right now.
London and England is celebrating.
He sounded
tonight.
Exhausted.
He did. I can feel his pain. OK, let's find out how the Italians have been feeling following their dramatic penalty victory the other night over Spain.
You're listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.
A reminder, the official Euro 2020 playlist is on all major music streaming platforms. It's been updated weekly throughout the tournament, featuring song choices from various players. Just search for Euro 2020 official playlist on your music streaming platform. OK, so the Wembley final, it will be England versus Italy. And we want to focus on the Azzurri now, although I can't help but notice a couple of England players, Chris, just caught my eye in the stands at Wembley.
Jack Grealish and Bukayo Saka having a chat with some porters, and I think Mason Mount as well. They were all socially distanced, and the crowd were quite a long away over a barrier. But they three young guys soaking up the moment of their lives.
And they will face their sternest test of the tournament as they face an Italy side that enjoyed that dramatic penalty shootout win against Spain on Tuesday, and they've been arguably the standout team of the tournament so far.
Is he in for another one here? It's an own goal. Pushed out well, but Immobile tucks in the rebound. Immobile, Insigne, three. They've got three, Italy. Comes Berardi. And he set it up for Locatelli. Locatelli, oh, he's done it again. It's certainly worth a shot from distance when that happens. And Ciro Immobile makes full use of the little time that was remaining. Chiesa! Breakthrough for Italy in extra time. Still might get it. Pessina! He does get it.
Berardi back into the box. Oh, it's brilliant play from Nicolò Barella. Insigne now still going. Sees the chance.
What a
takes
goal.
Takes the chance. Brilliant, brilliant from Insigne.
Picked up here by Chiesa. Oh! Sensational in the semi-final.
Well, that was their goal in normal time, of course. It all went down to Jorginho's winning penalty kick against Spain. This is the reaction, by the way, in Rome when the ball hit the back of the net at the UEFA fan park.
And Jorginho! Jorginho! And he knocked on Wembley! And sofferentissima, quasi drammatica. Abbiamo vinto con il gioco.
And we love hearing the Italian commentary.
Are they happy, Rob? Do you think they're happy they made the final?
I think they're very happy. Look, Kevin, I put it out there at the start of that. Do you think Italy have been the best footballing team at this tournament?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think they have played with great energy, great sense of purpose. I love the way they press. And if you look at the spine of the team, you know, Gigio Donnarumma has been a fantastic goalkeeper. You know, he's looked unflappable for most of it. They've had depth at centre-back, but Chiellini and Bonucci is a fantastically experienced centre-back pairing. Got a beautifully balanced midfield. Marco Verratti, Nicolò Barella. You've got Jorginho kind of setting the tempo as well. And they've got great attacking players who can change the game in a blink of an eye. And one of those is Federico Chiesa. And he's had to be patient. Domenico Berardi was keeping him out at the start of the tournament, but he's come in and seized his chance and has scored two magnificent goals. So there are threats everywhere you look. They're the best balanced team, I think, maybe, in the tournament so far. But England aren't too far behind them.
No, this is only England's second major tournament final. It is Italy's 10th. I mean, their footballing history and pedigree is extraordinary. And, you know, the stats are stacking up for Roberto Mancini's team. 14 wins in a row, Rob. Unbeaten in 33 matches. So that is the size of the task that England have to face at Wembley. And, you know, football sometimes, and we heard from David James there, right? I think I would agree that I think over the course of the tournament, Italy have been the best team. However, in the semi-final, I think Spain were probably better than Italy. And it's just the way football goes in a penalty shootout. Spain, unfortunately, Alvaro Morata saw his pot kick saved and Italy go through. But I think the Italians will be immensely confident going into this game because of that body of work under Roberto Mancini over the last, 3 years?
6 wins out of 6. Turkey, the Swiss, Wales, Austria, Belgium and Spain, although via penalties in the semi-final. Let's have a look at some of the papers then. This is how they've been reacting to Italy reaching Euro final for the first time since 2012, which actually is not very long ago at all, is it? Is it? In his usual column in La Gazzetta dello Sport, Claudio Ranieri described the team as a team of 11 lions. He's saying Spain proved to be a magnificent side, but we challenged them with their weapons and we won. Now we're ready for a final in a fantastic stadium. Gazzetta dello Sport also naming Donnarumma as their man of the match, giving him 8 out of 10, and notable mentions as well for the likes of Chiellini and Bonucci, their partnership, Jorginho and the goalscorer Chiesa. Okay, let's speak to Paolo Menicucci, who's been our reporter embedded with the team throughout the tournament. Paolo, there must be a great feeling at the moment after the win on Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it was not the best Italy, of course, but reaching the final was great for this group of players. Just remember where Italy were 3 years ago, failing to qualify for the World Cup, and now reaching the final here, it's a great, great enthusiasm.
I guess the Italy players would have been back and watching the other semi-final and presumably not too disappointed that it went to extra time ultimately, right? Because they will have had a day's extra rest, if you like.
Yes, but I think there is enough time to recover for both sides. I don't think it will be a factor, fatigue or something like that. I just think that Italy were interest to watch their rivals, but not really important. The especially for a game like that, like I don't think that energy will be lacking to any other two teams.
We've seen a couple of spectacular and very important contributions from Federico Chiesa. He's somebody who's built up a reputation as a big game player, certainly for Juventus at club level, and now we're seeing that with Italy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a crescendo in his first season at Juventus. The beginning was not so easy, struggling to find some space. But in the end, it was like a great finish of the season, like scoring important goals in the Champions League, scoring important goals in the league. He's constantly improving, like, and he's adapting to play this kind of games. He scored some crucial goal for Italy yesterday, but even against Austria in the extra time, like he can shoot well with both feet. He has pace. He has everything to be decisive at this level.
And Paolo, with Italy in the final, it means we're going to get to hear this one last time at Euro 2020. Let's face it, it's the coolest national anthem, isn't it?
Paolo, when you hear that, I mean, that has to get you ready for any match.
Yeah, yeah, he's pumping, especially the C at the end. It's like, wow, it's like, we are ready.
So want to join in with the players, especially when Giorgio Chiellini does as well. Look, look, you've seen England as well, Paolo, and what they've done to get past a very resilient Denmark. Will Italy be intimidated going into this final, or will they feel that there'll be a good match, or perhaps even the better of England?
First, I want to remain two songs, and I'm I have to say that I love the Sweet Caroline at the end, and I'm scared to hear it on Sunday.
It's very
Sunday
nice to return the compliment, yeah.
it will be the bad ending for me, like Sweet Caroline. But I like it. Then, I don't know, I think the factor of facing the host here to play away is taking away some pressure from Italy, I think. I think they will like not to be favorite, because they will not be like playing at Wembley with a full stadium. I don't think that they can be considered as favorite, and it's taking away some pressure for them for sure. I expect Italy to play with more freedom, and but even yesterday in penalties, I was so surprised to see them so calm. Everyone joking, even just before penalties, like Chiellini joking with Alba and Donnarumma hugging the Spanish goalkeeper. Like, they're playing like with a light-hearted thing. It's a good factor for Italy, I think.
Paolo, I was just going to ask: is there pride in Italy about the fact that they're changing preconceptions about Italian football? It's not defensive. It's really attacking, aggressive football, and we've seen that in Serie A, that it's become more goal orientated and much more exciting in terms of attacking play. Is there pride that Italy are doing the same thing?
Yeah, I think this is a reason for pride. There are a few coaches in Serie A that have changed a bit the philosophy of playing, like even smaller clubs, like I don't know if you follow Sassuolo, for example, with De Zerbi. They were playing incredible attacking and entertaining football. Usually you see small teams going to play against bigger teams and just try to defend, sit back. But it changed completely even with smaller side. And the fact that Mancini brought this mentality to the national team is certainly a source of pride for the Italian fans. Yeah, for sure.
Paolo, we can't wait for the final. I'm sure you're going to be in with the team and getting all the interviews. So enjoy the next few days. And thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. A pleasure as well, as always. And congratulations to England.
Our brilliant reporter, Paolo Menicucci, our man in with the Italian team. Brilliant stuff. Okay, after another night of drama, very fraught extra time, England have managed to progress to their first final since the 1966 World Cup. What do we think for the final then? And we are going to have a special preview pod detailing the team's runs and looking at every aspect of the sides. But quickly, we've got you on the hop here. Chris, what are you thinking about the final? England, the home team, Italy maybe the slightly better team. What do you reckon?
I think I would make Italy slight favourites. And, you know, we make a lot of the home advantage. In terms of European Championship history, only France have won it on home soil back in 1984. You only have to look back to 2016 and France losing to Portugal in Paris, when I think most neutral observers thought they would go and win that with the home support. So I would still, if I'm talking about the whole tournament, I would still make Italy slight favourites going into this game.
Okay, Heaven, what do you reckon?
It is mega close. I think it's a fantastic final at the end of a wonderful tournament. I'm going to go for England. I think England have players that can do damage to Italy that not many teams have been able to do. And I think where Spain didn't make the most of their chances, England have players who can.
OK, so Harry Kane, by the way, was the official star of the match from Wembley. Before we go, let's get yours. Kev, who are you going for?
I'm going to go for Raheem Sterling. I thought he never stopped running, never stopped threatening. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it would be Sterling. If I had to pick somebody out, I might go Harry Maguire, you know. The way he brings the ball out and his coolness at the back, I think when England were not quite holding on at the end, always felt confident they were going to do so because of Harry Maguire.
Okay, gents, thank you very much for your company. We will be back with a special preview podcast on Friday. That will drop into your inbox if you subscribe to us. We've got loads of great content to bring you, so don't miss that. Just search for the official Euro 2020 podcast and you will find us. Also, remember to listen to the Euro Show live after the final on the official app or on Euro2020.com. Our next show will be just minutes after the final whistle in Sunday's game between England and Italy. What a final, and we'll bring you all the reaction from Wembley Stadium. Thanks for listening as always. We hope you're enjoying Euro 2020.
Thanks for listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.